briefly, and we have so many graduates tonight, I need to be brief. I think we were talking maybe three times in the history of our school, maybe four. I could only think of about three that we've had one student that was graduating. You say, what happened? All the rest of them flunked. They didn't make it. And no, we only had one senior this year in our school. And so he's graduating. And that means that he's graduating as valedictorian, salutatorian. And he gets the president's award. All the trophies go to him. He's the best Christian in the 12th grade. He's the only Christian in 12th grade. We could say it that way as well. But we're certainly thankful for the Keens and all that they've meant to our church. And just a faithful servant family. And I praise the Lord for them and all that God has done in their life and to train Chris. Psalm 86, verses 1 through 13 tonight. If you're able to, would you join me out of respect for the Word of God in standing with me as I read? Psalm 86, verse 1, the Bible says, bow down thine ear, O Lord, hear me, for I am poor and needy. Preserve my soul, for I am holy. O thou my God, save thy servant that trusteth in thee. Be merciful unto me, O Lord, for I cry unto thee daily. Rejoice the soul of thy servant, for unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive, and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. Give ear, O Lord, unto my prayer, and attend unto the voice of my supplications. In the day of my trouble I will call upon thee, for thou wilt answer me. Among the gods there is none like unto thee, O Lord, neither are there any works like unto thy works. All nations whom thou hast made shall come and worship before thee, O Lord, and shall glorify thy name. For thou art great and doest wondrous things. Thou art God alone. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. I will praise thee, O Lord, my God, with all my heart. I will glorify thy name forevermore, for great is thy mercy toward me, and thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest hell. I want to call your attention back to verse 12, if you will, where the Bible says, I will praise thee, O Lord, my God, with all my heart. I'd like us to say those last four words together. Ready? Begin. With all my heart. And let's pray tonight. Heavenly Father, we do thank you again for the Word of God. And Lord, as we open it again tonight, we ask that you'd bless it. Father, thank you for the light that it is unto our feet and the lamp unto our path. And we pray tonight, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would simply guide us into that truth that we so desperately need to help us to become more like our Savior, Jesus Christ. I thank you for everyone in attendance here tonight, and I pray that you'd minister to their heart. I pray, Father, also for the Keen family, and I thank you for their service to the kingdom. I thank you for their loyalty and faithfulness to this church. And I thank you, Father, that they have dedicated themselves to training up their children in the way that they ought to go so that when they're old, they won't depart from it. I thank you for Chris, and I thank you for his accomplishment. Lord, this is his big day of his graduation. He is now commencing into life. And I pray as he does that you would help us to encourage him. And I pray tonight that as he graduates, that you would be glorified in his life. And Lord, that all of us as Christians would understand the commencement of every day. And I pray that we would make decisions accordingly. We pray that you'd help us. I yield myself to you tonight, and I ask that you'd help me, Lord, to be emptied of anything self-sufficient or vain so that I could be filled with your Spirit and used for your glory. Father, I ask that you'd simply make me an instrument for your use, that you would preach through me your message for us, your people. Again, that you may be glorified in all things, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. A couple of weeks ago in my devotions, I was taken by the statement that we read together in verse 12, the four words that we said out loud, with all my heart. As I read it, I began to think about what people do with all their heart. Let me ask you a question. What do you do with all your heart? And what does that really mean? Certainly, all you have to do is look to what people are giving the most effort to, what people are spending the most money on and giving the most time to, and very soon you will find their passion. I suppose you could define it that way. To do something with all your heart is to do it passionate, and when you find their passion, that is what they're doing with all their heart. It's interesting to me that is the way I believe that the Bible describes Jesus' death on the cross. Take your Bible, if you will, and turn to Acts chapter 1 just briefly tonight. Keep your finger there in Psalm 86. And I want us to think of that. What do we do with all of our heart? Does God speak to that in just this realm or in other places in Scripture? And if it is passion that we're talking about, something that we're completely dedicated and given to, then perhaps we can learn not just from the psalmist, but also from the Savior. Notice what it says in Acts chapter 1, the foremost treatise have I, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach unto the day in which he was taken up, after that he through the Holy Ghost had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. Look at verse 3, to whom also he showed himself alive. Notice what it says, after his what? After his passion by many infallible proofs. The passion there is talking about the death of Christ. It's talking about his commitment to do all that God had for him to do as the Redeemer and Savior of all of mankind. As you look through the Scriptures, there are several phrases that are repeated throughout the pages, and one of them is this phrase, with all my heart. And as I was thinking about it, I thought, you know, Lord, I know what you said is the greatest commandment, that I'm supposed to love the Lord thy God with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. So I know there's at least two times in Scripture that you use that, but Lord, is there any other times? And I think as students of the Bible, we would do well to go through and look for places that God repeats things over and over and say, now, Lord, obviously, if you have reemphasized this one phrase, even if it's connected with a different thought, then there's something for me to learn. And that's what I found. As you look for and see, you'll find that one of the phrases God repeats is this phrase, with all of my heart. Now, for Chris tonight, he is about to commence into the rest of his life. And I want to ask you, as you have already commenced from graduation, but as you commence from the service, as you begin a new time tomorrow morning, as you wake up and as you commence into the day, I would like to ask you, what will you be doing with all your heart? Now, there are lots of things that we do halfway. There are lots of things that we do perhaps without passion. I don't take the trash out with passion. I'm sorry. I'm just not a passionate trash taker outer guy. All right. I don't necessarily, pick weeds with any kind of passion. That's just one of those things. I don't necessarily mow the lawn. Now, my daughter Jenna loves to mow the lawn, so she mows it passionately, okay? But there are some things in our life that we don't do necessarily passionately. I eat with passion. How many are with me? Okay, yeah, amen. Some of you are like, yeah, I don't want to admit it out loud, but I really do. I like to eat donuts with passion. There's some things that I like to eat with passion, some things that I don't eat passionately. Green beans, I eat them, but I don't eat it passionately. I just don't want to go down that road, so we'll just leave it at that. You understand what I'm saying? What I want to ask Chris tonight is, Chris, what are you going to do with all your heart? When you leave this church tonight, you're no longer a part of Shadow Mountain Baptist School. You're going to leave in a few months, you're going to go off to Bible college, and you're going to say, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And I want to challenge you that with whatever God says, Chris, this is what I want you to do. I want you to say, God, then with all my heart, I'll do it. But it wouldn't be fair for me to say, well, that's just for Chris. Because the Bible describes many different things that as born-again children of God, we all ought to be doing with all of our heart, passionately for the Savior. I believe the Bible teaches us that there are four deliberate actions that God calls everyone to do with all their heart. Take your notes and notice with me. First of all, my question to you is, will you believe him with all of your heart? So, well, what do you mean, Pastor? Well, the Bible says in Acts chapter 8 and verse 37, as the Ethiopian eunuch says, here is water, what doth hinder me to be baptized? The Bible says, and Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart. If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Now, we know contextually speaking, that's talking about salvation. Amen? If I believe that I am a sinner and with all my heart, Jesus Christ is my only hope to be saved, then when I put that faith in Christ, guess what? The Bible says I'm saved. Amen. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. Well, how much of my heart? All my heart. I cannot take Jesus Christ and add him to the shelf of the little g gods, like he says here. David proclaims that among the little g gods, there is none like unto thee. That means there's no other Savior but Jesus. Now, That's what he's saying to us, if thou believest with all thine heart. Now, let's just think about it for a minute. When you believed on Christ as your Savior, he was larger than life. And he was big enough to take away your sin, wasn't he? Yeah, and he still is. You may be here tonight and you still need to be saved. And if you died, you'd still split hell wide open. But what you need to understand is God loves you. And he died to keep you from that horrible place that was never designed for you. He designed it for the devil and his angels, according to the Bible. Now, if I would believe with all my heart, God would save me. And I can't add, well, I'm doing good. And Lord, if whatever I fail at, you can pick up the slack, then I'll go ahead and I'll do that. That's not salvation. Salvation is all of God or it's none of God. So God says, I want you to believe. Now watch, when you got saved, you believed on Jesus Christ as your Savior. He was larger than life. God was greater than your sin or any situation that you've had. I've spoken to many people and thought, my soul, I have nowhere else to turn. I must go to God. And they trusted Christ. And yet, isn't it within our capability to allow what we believe about God to be changed by our circumstances? Oh, the day that we got saved, it was with all of our heart. But then circumstances changed, and now all of a sudden, it's not really with all of our heart. Could I just say tonight, don't let your circumstances change the way you view God. Allow what you believe about God to change the way you view your circumstances. If thou believest with all thine heart, God says, I want it all. I want all of your belief. I want you to know that I am the same the day that you got saved today, and I will forever be the same. I want you to believe me with all your heart. You go into life, and all of a sudden it's, well, I've got this. I can pay bills. I can go to work. I can get some overtime. We can do this, and we kind of take control, don't we? Now, many times, the people that we believe in with all of our heart is ourselves. And yet God says, if thou believest with all your heart. Secondly, so the first question is, will you believe him with all your heart? Secondly is, will you trust him with all your heart? I think they're linked, but I think I can divide them. The Bible says in Proverbs 3 and verse 5, let's read it together. Ready? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. Look at the first part. Trust in the Lord, here it is again, with all thine heart. Now think about this just for a minute. Every time you open the book of Proverbs, if you read a proverb a day, every single day, you will read it in a month. That means that every third day of the month, you are reminded by the Holy Spirit of God, trust me with all of your heart. Trust me with all of your heart. On the third day, if that's the only day you're reminded that you can put all of your heart in God's hands. Amen. Now think about this. Since the fall of mankind, that's all God seemingly has said to man. Trust me. I just want you to trust me. He said to Adam, I want you to trust me with your sin. He said to Abel, I want you to trust me with your sacrifice. He said to Noah, I want you to trust me with your family. He said to Abraham, I want you to trust me with your wife and then your son. He said to Jacob, I want you to trust me with your future. He said to Joseph, I want you to trust me with your situation. He said to Moses, I want you to trust me with your future. And he says to you and I the same things every day. Why? Because he's trustworthy. He deserves all of my trust. The Bible says in Psalm 37 and verse 5, commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Do you know what we all need tonight? Not just a graduate. We all need to put our faith in God every day. All of it. Not part of it. Not only do I need to believe with all my heart, this is who God is. This is these are his attributes. But because of that, I need to trust him with all my heart. I don't need to let my own understanding get mingled in there with all my heart. Thirdly, I want you to see God challenges us to love and obey him with all of our heart. Now, we understand that the Bible talks about loving all of our heart. Most of us are not familiar with any verses that talk about obeying with all our heart. Tried as I may to separate these two, I could not. Because God doesn't. God doesn't separate love and obedience. They are principal twins joined at the hip in God's eyes. For wherever you find the one, you'll find the other. I submit to you Deuteronomy 6 and verse 5. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart. And then it says, and with all thy soul and with all thy might. Verse 6, and these words which I command thee this day shall be in the same place, in thine heart. Jesus said it this way in the New Testament, if you love me, keep my commandments. John 14, 21, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and I will manifest myself to him. Now, once you settle the question, what or who do you love with all your heart, it settles your obedience. You'll be able to tell by your actions who or what you love the most. So I have to come to a conclusion that man's struggle with sin is a struggle with who he loves more. Do I love God with all of my heart? Certainly, it's within us to love ourself that way. For no man ever yet hateth his flesh, but nourisheth it and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. Is the warring or the struggle in your life tonight because your love for the Savior is not with all your heart? That's the reality. Whom I love, I'll follow. Whom I love, whom I trust, whom I believe in, I will follow. If I decide that I love the Lord with all of my heart, soul, mind, and strength, obedience is easy, is it not? Because I recognize what he's done for me. I recognize that I owe him all of my love, and he's worthy of all of my trust, and I am his. I'm not mine. I've been bought with a price. So the glory of God is supposed to be to him with my body and my spirit, which are his. Deuteronomy 26, 16 says, this day the Lord thy God hath commanded thee to do these statutes and judgments. Thou shalt therefore keep and do them with all thine heart and with all thy soul. I'm so thankful that when Moses, as he was led of God, didn't say, let me just talk about obedience. And that's where a lot of churches go wrong, is they just talk about obedience and they don't talk about the motive of obedience. They don't talk about, hey, we're not just trying to set up a legalistic pad here and say everyone that does these 12 things is holy. No, we're talking about where it starts in the heart, and where it starts in the heart is with whom we love. Do I love the Lord our God with all of my heart, or do I not? Because if I only love him with part of my heart, with part of my life, then I'll only be obeying in the same, partly. Will you believe him with all your heart tonight? Will you trust him with all your heart tonight? Will you leave here and decide at the invitation that you will obey him with all your heart? Now, for Chris, it's a little different paradigm, isn't it? Chris is graduating. He's seeing everything, the unknown, out in front of him. And all of us that have been living in the unknown for a while, we've been going, oh, you can do it, you can do it. And he's going, I have no idea what you're talking about. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. I don't know where I'm supposed to live. I don't know who I'm supposed to marry. I can't even get a date. That'll be scary enough, right? By faith, I trust you, God. Now watch. Why is it any different for us? Why is it any different for us? So you've graduated. So you went to college. So you got a job. So you're making money. You got a wife. You got a car. You've got responsibilities. You got bills. What changed? God didn't change. His word doesn't change. The Spirit of God doesn't change. Often too many times it's us, isn't it? You remember when you got saved, or maybe you were a teenager or right there in your young adult life, and you were just, with all my heart, I'm going. And all of a sudden, momentum slowed down. All of a sudden, my decisions were less frequent, less sincere. I want to challenge you, Chris, don't stop. Don't stop making decisions. Keep making decisions. But rather than making new decisions, just with all your heart, keep the ones that you've already made. And just say, I'm going to be faithful to God no matter what. Don't use the failure of godly men to keep you from following God. Now watch, it stands to reason then, if I'll believe him with all my heart, if I'll trust him with all my heart, if I'll love and obey him with all my heart, guess what the result is? Number four, I will praise him with all of my heart. The Bible says in Psalm 86, 12, I will praise thee, O Lord my God, with all my heart, and I will glorify thy name forevermore. Now, what's amazing about this psalm is that it was written after David had run for his life. After so many things had gone wrong, as the sons had decided that the kingdom should be theirs. And I would say tonight, it's easy to praise the Lord with all of our heart when we're counting our blessings. It's easy to praise the Lord when we're seeing things good happen, but what if we can't see those things happen? What if it's still in the dark? What if he's crying out, bow down thy ear, O Lord, hear me, for I am poor and needy, be merciful unto me. He's saying, in spite of all that I can't see out there, I will praise thee with all of my heart. What a determination. How does that happen? Because I believed. You, among the gods, there's nobody like you. I'm trusting you. I'm going to love and obey you. And because of that, I have no problems praising you. Now, let me ask you a question. Do you have problems praising the Lord? All you have to do on a given Sunday morning is stand up here, lead the music, and see people, listen, who struggle praising God. Now, I get it. Some people, they would say, I'm not gifted with singing, and I don't want that person to hear me. I don't want to like this person. I don't care if my wife does, because she hears me sing in the shower. But I just don't, and I get all that. But there ought not be any worry of pretense or false piety in a building like this. We ought to come and say, God, with all my heart, if what it takes to please you is the spirit and truth, then I'm all in. Praising God. By the way, you don't have to, it's not mandatory that you can only praise God in public. You can praise him in private. You can praise him wherever you are. In fact, the Bible says, and if you turn there just for a minute, and then we're done, Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. The question that I pose tonight is, what are you doing with all of your heart? It's easy to praise the Lord with all of our heart when we're counting our blessings, but what if we can't see the blessings? Here's what Paul's counsel is to the church at Philippi in chapter 4 and verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord only when you're being blessed. Rejoice in the Lord only when everything is going well. No, it doesn't say that. It says, rejoice in the Lord. Let's say it together. Ready? Always. Always. And again, I say rejoice. Now, how could he possibly say that with such confidence? How is it that Paul has some audacity to write to the church at Philippi, by any means not a rich church? In their poverty, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians, they gave, and not of their own power, but they sacrificed because they gave of themselves. They gave all that they had because they were concerned. They wanted a part in the ministry to the saints. How could he have the audacity to say such a thing to Christians abroad? How could the Holy Spirit of God take a blanket statement and say, listen, no matter where you are, no matter what your circumstances, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Here's why. Because in Romans chapter 8, the Bible says all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. And that's the idea. How did he have the audacity to say that? Because God says, I've got all things. So whatever you're going through, I've allowed. Or I've caused, and I want you to rejoice in spite of it. Look down, if you will, in verse 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any, let's say it together, praise. Think on these things. See, God says, listen, this matter of praise is important to me because it's detrimental for you. If you're going to believe me for who I am, if you're going to trust me for all I can do and provide, if you're going to love and obey me for all I command, then what's going to come out of that is your praise. And I long for that. In fact, I inhabit it. God is worthy of all of our praise. He's worthy of all of our praise when we are in the valley as much as we are on the top of the mountain. Psalm 33:1, rejoice in the Lord, O you righteous, for praise is comely for the upright. What does that word mean? It means befitting. It means it's appropriate. It's appropriate for God's people to be praising God. Why? Because they believe him with all their heart. Because they're trusting him in the day-to-day lifetime. They are loving and obeying him every day. So the natural thing it befits, it fits the story of the narrative of a upright life. Praise, Psalm 147, verse 1, praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our God, for it is pleasant. Listen, and praise is comely. It's appropriate of a life of someone whose heart is dedicated and passionate to God that praise would come forth. In the middle of this psalm, he cries and says, I will praise thee, O Lord my God, with all my heart. I will glorify thy name forevermore. Now, before you leave here, what will you do with all of your heart when you do leave? Some of you are, even tonight, and I would submit I'd probably fall in this category, I'm going to eat with all my heart. But that's just a small thing, isn't it? Sometimes we get our priorities mixed around so quickly, because we're always thinking about ourselves. Will you believe God with all your heart when you leave here? Chris, I pray to God that you would always believe him. I sincerely do. I pray that God, you would always trust God and that you would never doubt, By the way, he's never given you a reason to doubt. Never. As your family has served, as your family has stayed faithful, as your family has given all that I have watched them give, God has never given you a doubt to doubt him. He's never said, oh yeah, I was a little iffy and, you know, dad saved us. No, God has saved you. God has been good to you. Will you trust him? Will you love and obey him? And even when things don't work out, will you praise him with all your heart? Antonio was an Italian boy who really loved music. But whenever he tried to sing the music that was in his heart, it came out so badly that all of his friends laughed at him. Next to singing, the boy loved to hear the violin. He had a pocket knife he always carried with him, and he would whittle all sorts of things with it. One day, Antonio learned that the greatest violin maker in Italy, the great Niccolo Amati, lived in his village. Antonio began to whittle a violin and worked for many hours on it. When finished, the boy walked to the house of Amati, who just happened to answer the door. The boy handed the master the small violin that he had carved, and he said, and I quote, sir, I love music, but I cannot sing. I wish with all of my heart that I could learn to make violins. The great Amati smiled. He looked at the small gift, and he said, and I quote, beautifully done. You want to make violins? And so you shall. In time, your violins will make the most beautiful music ever heard. And so, Antonio Stradivari became the pupil of Niccolo Amati, and in his time, his violins were equal to his master's. You've heard of the Stradivarius violin. What changed for him? What he wanted with all of his heart. I would submit to you tonight that if you want to love God with all of your heart, it would change your life. I would submit to you tonight that if you would believe and trust him with all of your heart and never even look back at your own understanding, that it would change everything for you. What do you really want out of life? What we ought to want out of life is to be passionate about our God. Why? So that we could praise him forevermore. So that we could be a testimony of what our God can do. Among the gods, there is none like unto thee, O Lord. Heavenly Father, we love you and we thank you for all that you are. And we thank you for your admonitions in Scripture. Now I pray that you administer to hearts in this special hour in Jesus' name. With heads bowed and eyes closed, well, can I ask you a question tonight? Have you trusted Jesus Christ with all of your heart? Do you know for sure you're on your way to heaven? I could think of no better service, friend, than for someone to be saved than in a service like this. God loved you with all of his heart. He died for you. Now, I wonder if you'd return the favor. They call it grace in the Bible, unmerited favor. I wonder if you'd say tonight, Pastor, I don't know for sure if I died tonight, I'd be in heaven, but I would like to know. Would you pray for me? Is there anybody here like that? Could I pray for you? Just slip up your hand real quick and put it down. Anybody? Pastor, I don't know Jesus as my Savior. I don't know if I died, I'd be in heaven, but I would like to know. I've never made that decision. Tonight, I'd like to make it publicly. Anybody like that? Just pray real quick. I just want to pray for you. Just slip up your hand and put it down. I won't come to you. I won't embarrass you. Anybody? A Christian? Maybe God's challenged you tonight like he's challenged me. He's worthy of all of my trust. He's worthy of all of my love and obedience. And for that, he's worthy of all my praise. The question is he getting it? How many would say, Pastor, in my heart of hearts, in one or more of these areas, God has spoken to me about what I'm doing with all of my heart. I want God to be pleased with my life. I'd be willing to make a decision tonight by the grace of God that with all of my heart, I want to be passionate about my Savior. How many would say, God challenged me tonight. Pray for me, Pastor, during this invitation. How many would say that tonight by an uplifted head? I just want to pray for you. Anybody, just hold it up for a minute. I was challenged tonight, Pastor, by the Word of God about what I'm doing with all of my heart. Anybody, just slip up your hands real quick. I want to pray for you. Can we stand together in prayer? Heavenly Father, we pray now for every hand that was lifted. Lord, you know all of our hearts collectively and simultaneously. You know what we do with all of our heart. You know the dichotomy or the trichotomy that we wrestle with every day. Those things that so easily beset us. So Lord, I pray tonight that we would lay those down, cast them off. Lord, whether it's sin or weight is irrelevant. The fact of the matter is, we need to put all of our heart in glory. We need to put all of our love in you and all of our trust in you, so that we could praise you mightily. I pray tonight for every hand that you would help them, encourage them, comfort them, give them strength and courage, give them great grace. Lord, help us to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith we've been called. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.